From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Owen Henderson. It's Monday, April 3rd. Coming up, we hear about a Knox County farmer that's back to providing produce after a hiatus. That story from Jane Carlson in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. At least three people are dead and eight injured after a tornado crossed an area near Robinson, Illinois, about 100 miles southeast of Champaign. As Illinois Newsroom's Reginald Hardwick reports, homes and an airport were flattened, but a major refinery was spared.
Friday night's tornado cut a path through Crawford County, which borders Indiana. The storm split the telecommunications building at Lincoln Trail College in half. The county airport took a direct hit, and airplanes were thrown across nearby cropland. Bill Burke is the county board chairman and part of the team who helped rescue residents in dark and rainy conditions after the storm passed through.
Getting to where we needed to be was our biggest struggle and our biggest challenge. We had people trapped in basements. We had to get them out.
Burke says at least 25 homes were destroyed, and up to 50 more sustained some damage. But it could have been much worse. The tornado missed the huge Marathon refinery. State Senator Chapin Rose, whose district includes Crawford County, says drivers around Illinois depend on the plant.
I mean, this is like the third largest refinery in the state of Illinois. It processes gasoline for most of the Midwest. That thing was headed right for the refinery. You could have had hundreds, if not thousands, of people killed.
County Board Chairman Bill Burke says despite the conditions, he is confident all residents are accounted for.
To live it and actually be right beside it and be trying to work in the middle of it, I've never, ever in my life seen anything like it. Like I said, it looked like a war zone.
He says local churches and the Red Cross are taking donations. Reginald Hardwick, Illinois Newsroom.
The National Weather Service in central Illinois determined the tornado was an EF3 with top wind speeds of 155 miles per hour. Meteorologists believed it tracked 42 miles. It started Friday at 8:58 p.m. and ended in Indiana at 9:33 p.m. At one point, the storm was a third of a mile wide. Knocked over power lines, trucks, and farming equipment scatter one Illinois farmer's property in the aftermath of a tornado on Friday night. The National Weather Service says the winds were as high as 110 miles per hour. Tom Teasfield is a livestock farmer in the village of Rankin, north of Champaign. He says luckily no one was hurt and he didn't lose any livestock, so he wasn't too distraught about the damages to his property.
Business as usual. Life goes on every day. Tomorrow's another day. That's all you can do.
Teasfield was forced to close down the road to his property in the aftermath of the storm. Now he's waiting for winds to die down and soil to dry to begin cleaning up. Research and social justice are often separate issues, but one local organization is using their connections to figure out how to combat violence before it starts. Illinois Newsroom's Farah Anderson has more.
First Followers helps formerly incarcerated people re-enter the Champaign-Urbana community. The group released the result of a survey they conducted on the leading causes of violence. Organizer James Corbin says poverty and access to guns top the list.
Let's really look at the actual causes, and then you can start building a solution around these causes instead of just coming up with these hypothetical situations that are unrealistic.
Respondents also cited a lack of affordable housing and conflicts over social media. Corbin says they will use the findings to help guide a coalition of other organizations that also work to combat violence. I'm Farah Anderson, Illinois Newsroom.
Defense attorneys in the ComEd bribery trial aggressively questioned the government's most damaging witness in the case so far. Dave McKinney reports.
Patrick Cotter is the defense attorney for Michael McLean, a ComEd lobbyist who's on trial for allegedly bribing former Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan. Cotter spent Thursday picking apart the testimony of government mole Fidel Marquez. He secretly recorded McLean and his co-defendants in a deal he made with the feds to avoid prison. That deal was the basis for this made-for-TV moment that played out for jurors. Cotter: the government offered you something you very much wanted, which was not to die in prison. And you offered your testimony in exchange. So you did an exchange, right? Marquez: yes. Cotter: that wasn't a bribe, was it? Marquez: no. Marquez will continue his testimony next week.
This is Dave McKinney.
Still to come, a Knox County farmer is back to providing produce after a break from the business. That story from Jane Carlson is coming up next on 217 Today.
The April 4th election is right around the corner. I'm Illinois Public Media education reporter Emily Hayes. Before you vote, check out the Election 2023 section of IllinoisNewsroom.org. You can read profiles and stories about local mayoral and school board races. That's at IllinoisNewsroom.org, powered by Illinois Public Media.
This is 217 Today. I'm Owen Henderson. After a short hiatus, a Knox County vegetable farmer is back in the produce game. Jane Carlson has the story.
It's late morning on the very first day of spring. The sun is just beginning to poke through the clouds. Two high tunnels are being prepped for an early growing season, and Dusty Sainer is driving a black pickup truck around neighborhood farm.
A lot of people are excited for me, personally, you know, because I'm, like, back doing the things that I should be doing.
People are also excited about the food that Sainer grows. She ran Spurgeon Veggies for about 12 years in another part of the county, a fixture at farmers markets and her own farm stand, before deciding to move on from that venture.
It was for personal reasons, and it was rather sudden, and it was not intentional. I didn't necessarily want to leave. I was looking to kind of hand off some of the management, some of my employees, but I wasn't looking to just get out of it completely.
Sainer says that sudden departure had her feeling a bit lost. She even ended up at a desk job for the first time in her adult life. When Sainer graduated with a degree in biology from Monmouth College in 2010, the economy made it hard to find a job. So she started working with her then mother-in-law on a backyard community-supported agriculture operation that later blossomed into a full-fledged vegetable farm. Farming had never been in Sainer's sights.
Once I started doing it, I realized that I really enjoyed doing the outside physical work. I also really enjoyed connecting with people and building our customer base.
Flash forward to that desk job. Sainer says it was good to have a different kind of work experience, but she quickly realized it was not for her. Meanwhile, Chris Ney had purchased 95 acres of land near Knoxville and named it Neighborhood Farm. That's neighborhood beginning with N-A-Y because of his last name. Ney's plans were to launch a farm-to-table community experience, where people from nearby Oak Run and Galesburg could gather to eat pizzas made from ingredients grown right there on the farm.
He built the pavilion that's right out there that you saw, got a wood-fired pizza oven that's on a trailer that we can move around, and then shortly after found me.
Sainer started working as Neighborhood's farm operations director a couple months ago, leaving that desk job behind. She dug in immediately to build a website and launch a CSA, using her passion and expertise to evolve and expand Ney's vision for community and local food at the site.
It's a farm, but it's also a place to bring your family and hang out, you know, for an afternoon or something like that. And it makes a lot of sense.
The growing area is on a wide hill surrounded by trees. The high tunnels are perched in front of the garlic that Ney planted last fall, with more and more things to be planted as the ground dries and the weather warms. Produce such as lettuces and radishes are already planted with the help of new employees like John Lane of Galesburg. He says he's drawn to the conjunction of local food and people gathering together.
If this was maybe just a production vegetable farm, I'd still be interested, but not quite as interested as the idea of getting people to come out here and have an experience outside of town.
And Lane says it's also an opportunity for people to understand what food is in season. At Neighborhood Farm, that means there might be pizzas with kale and green onions in the spring, before the season of herbs and peppers and tomatoes in the summer. Sainer says growing and eating local food is about quality. Vegetables can be eaten hours after they are harvested, they taste better, and they're better for you. It's also about variety.
Just because we're not shipping everything all over the place, so it doesn't need to be able to last for a week in a truck. So we can grow like 50 different varieties of weird heirloom tomatoes that are super soft and only good for like 2 days, but those 2 days, they are just divine, you know.
Shares are still available for the Neighborhood Farm CSA. With that comes discounted pizza. But there will also be pizza nights open to the public at the farm and at community events in town. I'm Jane Carlson.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says it will be partly cloudy with a slight chance of a shower late in the day and a high of 71 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Sydney Wood. Reporting today contributed by Reginald Hardwick, Luis Velasquez, Farah Anderson, Dave McKinney, and Jane Carlson. Music by the Kilbourn Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Owen Henderson. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.